Welcome to the newest episode of the R-Beats Original Podcast, where we dive into hashtag local music somewhere and current topics interesting to any kind of creative mind listening.
I mean, I just felt like the banks just kept taking and taking and taking. And every time you try to challenge anything they tell you, to read the fine print. And it's just frustrating.
Is that when you found the loophole?
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't a loophole, really. It was a loophole. But in the way they set it up, and once I figured it out, I knew it would make me rich until they figured it out. Yeah, I just had to figure it out, and then it was like, let's just see how far I can take this. And I was kind of surprised I was able to do it for 3 years before they caught me. They caught on and changed it.
On today's show, you're going to hear about a man who made a lot of money for a long time by taking advantage of a loophole from an online bank he thinks makes a profit by taking advantage of people who are the most vulnerable. He found a loophole that ended up costing the bank a lot of money, even though it was that very loophole that was designed, he says, to take advantage of other people. From the R-Beats Radio Network, I'm John Casson. This is Loopholes. Today's episode, Knocking Down a House of Cards. The story you're about to hear is a real experience. Here's Nick.
I didn't do it to get rich.
Why did you do it?
I guess for the money, but also to take advantage of them the way they were taking advantage of other people.
In 2019, a high school dropout working as an hourly retail clerk opened a bank account online with a company called Green Dot Financial. He doesn't want to use his real name or his real voice, so we'll just call him Nick. But for the most part, the gist of the story is true. By all accounts, Green Dot Bank has a stellar reputation. When you go on their website, the front page touts an award they got recently for being one of Newsweek's most trustworthy companies in America. But that's not the way Nick saw him, not in 2019.
Well, they say you can open a bank account for free. But at the time, they charged you like $7 a month just to keep it open, unless you did all of these things that are just as hard to do when you don't make a ton of money. And when you try to call them to ask questions, you just keep getting all these answering machines that guide you to the website again. But at the time, I didn't have internet in my apartment, so I had to find a Wi-Fi location, and then I felt unsafe going to my bank account using a Wi-Fi that other people can also use. They made you do all these things, and if you didn't do even one of them, you would get charged. And I did sometimes. I got charged.
By all these things, Nick's referring to spending and depositing at least $1,000 a month using direct deposit from a primary employer. If you spend less, they charged you a fee. If you spent more and it was online, they paid you a percentage of what you spent, but only at the end of each year.
I mean, there's no guarantee I was even going to make $1,000 every single month. And that $7 is like a half hour's pay. And that's a lot, right? I think that's a lot because they don't even have any branches around here, and they're holding my money. So if anything, they should be paying me. That's what I thought. Plus, if I was trying to deposit money some other way, like through a drugstore deposit or something, they were charging outrageous fees for that too.
Turns out they would pay you, but as Nick says, it's a bit complicated. You have to transfer the money from your debit checking account into a Green Dot savings account, which is separate. And then you only got paid if you kept the account open for a full year, and only once a year. Then there's the reason he signed up to begin with. 3% cash back on all purchases. Remember that. Turns out that's not exactly wholly true either.
So it's not all purchases. It's only all online purchases. I know because I was buying groceries and stuff and checking my statement and there was never any credit. But when I paid my apartment rent and some other stuff online, I got the rebate. But not right away, so that was kind of disappointing.
Turns out the rebate comes once a year at the end of the year that you sign up, and it does require the purchases to be made online. It's pretty clearly written. But not everyone sees details. But Nick noticed a different kind of detail.
And every dollar really counts because I was having car repairs and I owed money to the IRS and I wasn't sure how I was going to pay it. And I just kind of felt overwhelmed.
What'd you do?
Well, I was really surprised that when I made my rent payment, I got a rebate. So that was cool. And then over Christmas, they had this promotion where they would double your rebate to 6% if you spend money online using their debit card.
But that was a problem for Nick, too. He wasn't exactly in a position to go on a big holiday spending spree.
So I had my own business on the side, and I couldn't buy a lot of Christmas presents that year because I had to make estimated payments to the IRS, but I couldn't find my coupon book, and I had to make the payments online.
Did you catch that? He made his payments to the IRS online. Remember, it wasn't so much of a purchase, it was simply a tax payment.
So I paid my taxes with Green Dot Card, like $1,000 or $2,000 or something like that. And then I noticed this huge statement credit in my account.
Here's the loophole Nick found. Turns out Green Dot was paying people who made tax payments using their debit card 3%, 6% during that special holiday weekend he's talking about.
So I thought, well, like, is this real? And it was. I eventually found my tax coupons. They were under my bed where I hid them, so no one would find them. But then I couldn't find any stamps, and I didn't want to buy an entire book of stamps to mail one payment. So I just kept paying the IRS online using my Green Dot card. That first year, I got back several hundred dollars. It was awesome.
Nick shared a story with his uncle, who had no idea. But then he had an idea. What if Nick overpaid his taxes? By a lot. If he used his Green Dot card, he would get to keep the rebate money, and when he files his taxes, he would get all the money back as an overpayment.
Yeah, it was like free money because they were giving 3%. So if my uncle lent me like $100,000 over the course of a year, I would get $3,000 just for paying with my Green Dot. And I would get refunded directly from the IRS. It was genius. I couldn't believe it, and it worked.
Nick did this for years. And each year, he would get what he considers to be a really big rebate credit posted to his account. He liked the idea so much, he started telling anybody who would listen.
It was smart, I thought. I told my friends about it, but I'm not sure if they listen. They don't always listen to me. I do talk a lot. But eventually it was like a game. Like, how much money can I take from this bank who is trying to take my money from me when I don't even make a lot?
Nick may have spoken about it a little bit too much. Or perhaps the amounts of his deposits or withdrawals through the IRS debits got the attention of some folks over at Green Dot. The site no longer seems to accept Green Dot as a form of debit. But Nick shared his bank statements, and he did make a lot of money, considering he didn't do much for it. It wasn't enough to change his lifestyle, not meaningfully, but in some ways it kind of did. It was a loophole, and he found it.
It gave me a lot of confidence, because I didn't do well in school, and people sometimes confuse someone who is not formally educated for someone who's just kind of dumb. And I think banks find a way to take advantage of these people. And instead, I took advantage of them.
Green Dot only pays 2% cash back now, and it still has to be online. We reached out to Green Dot for some comment. We got a voicemail, and as of this taping, we haven't heard back. Nick's no longer working in retail.
So making the banks pay me instead of me paying them got me interested in learning what else I could do. So I'm back in school now and getting my mortgage license. I even moved out of my apartment and bought a house using some of the money I got from Green Dot.
He bought his house in 2020, and it wasn't inexpensive.
No, but I've been studying interest rates, and I got a good one.
Nick pays 2.5% interest on a 30-year loan. His house has already gone up in value, more than $300,000, according to Zillow. Nick says he's not found that Green Dot loophole. He may not have had the confidence to buy a house to begin with. And he's found other loopholes, too.
So, my credit is really good. So, I kept getting all of these balance transfer offers from credit cards, and I took advantage of them.
Nick shows me statements from Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and others. All told, he withdrew more than $100,000 in 0% interest, credit cards, and loans. But then his credit took a hit.
So, I saw the inflation was high, but these introductory offers were low. And there was a 2% or 3% fee or something, still much less than inflation. So I borrowed the money and reinvested it and actually made money off these banks' money because they themselves were paying more in interest in most cases than they were charging.
What happened when you have to pay back the loans, though, Nick?
That's the best part. I just withdrew the money and paid off the loan before the interest kicks in.
Nick estimates he makes several thousand dollars this way as well. Nick's never missed a payment, and he manages his money incredibly well, arguably better than the banks.
So, yeah, that's when something weird happened, and the banks started asking me for money because they were running out, and I had some of it.
The banks didn't exactly ask Nick personally for money, but what he's referring to is the regional banking crisis earlier this year. It started with Silicon Valley Bank and then a couple other regional banks. Reports were circulating they didn't have a lot of liquid cash on hand. They were lending it to people like Nick at no or low-cost interest rates, and now the banks had to come up with the money that they didn't have. So the banks had to borrow from the federal government or people like Nick in the form of higher-interest CDs just so they could stay afloat.
I didn't mind lending it to them because I felt bad for them because they just didn't realize that interest rates were going to go up so fast before they lent me all the money.
Remember, Nick didn't graduate high school. He tried community college but couldn't make it far there either. There was one subject he flunked out of over and over again before he eventually gave up. What subject derailed you? Clearly it wasn't math.
It was math. It was algebra. I wasn't good at it in high school. I wasn't good at it in college. I didn't see when I was going to need it. Eventually, I had to work full-time and take care of my family, so I kind of gave up.
So here's this guy in his 40s, flunked out of high school and college, and he's beating the bankers, people with MBAs and PhDs, at their own game. No wonder his credit's so good.
It's not, though.
Your credit's not good? I thought you had good credit. How'd you manage to get $100,000 in credit card loans at 0% interest?
Well, it used to be.
Nick shows me his credit report. And up until recently, sure enough, he had some months where his score reached 850. That's the highest score you can get. Only 1% of the population has an 850 credit score.
But it went down since then.
Why?
That's the funniest part.
What do you mean?
So you know how I borrowed all this money because the 3% balance transfer fees were less than the 5% I could get putting in a CD.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that kind of brought my score down. It's like low 600s.
Have you missed any payments?
None.
Why do you think it went down so much?
It's the flawed way banks determine how responsible you are. They lower your credit because they think that you can't handle your money, but I can handle my money just fine. They just lowered my score because a bunch of my credit cards are maxed out, but at zero interest, so it's fine.
Here's the irony. The banks, the ones who think Nick suddenly isn't as good with his money, they think that because Nick borrowed their money and then returned it to them at higher interest rates. by putting it into CDs and paying off an equity line he took out. They think that makes Nick less responsible and more of a risk to them. And the banks? The banks then turn around and pay a higher interest rate to people like Nick because they weren't good with their own money. And they feared they would get a credit downgrade if they didn't add cash to their balance sheet from people like Nick. Green Dot has since reduced the fees, the charges, and the credit amount it gives for online charges. And many regional banks have decided to just stop lending altogether at any interest rate. Nick says there's still other loopholes, though, and he wouldn't mind sharing it with them, if they ask. I'm John Casson, and this is Loopholes.
Thank you for your time and listening to rbeats.com boutique streaming service, home of hashtag local music somewhere. Check back regularly for podcasts, artist interviews, and more.